The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. Foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. It's wonderful to have the school back. I missed your last Mass because I was gone, but it's nice to be able to kick off the year with you right here at school Mass. And I understand today's a half a day. You lucky dogs. Is it too late? Can I go back to school? I want a half day too. Too late. Anyway, I don't know why I said any of that. It has nothing to do with my homily. Little thought for you here for the morning, okay? Little question for you to think about. Now, let's pretend for just a moment. Let's just imagine. Let's imagine that you die and stand before God in judgment of your soul, and he looks at you and asks you one question. He says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What's your answer? Now again, we're just pretending. That's not the way Judgment Day goes. You know how Judgment Day is actually going to go? The saints tell us it all takes place in the blink of an eye and the snapping of fingers. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing yourself for who you really are, and in one instant you know exactly where you belong. The whole thing takes a split second. But we're just pretending that God asks you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What's your answer? Would it surprise you to know that most grown-ups don't know the answer to this question? All right, so you today, you're going to become smarter than most grown-ups. So what do you say? You say, "Well, because I'm a really good person?" Is that what gets you into heaven? Do you get into heaven for being a really good person? And most people say yes. Do you remember the story of the day they crucified Jesus? Do you remember the story? And alongside Jesus, he was crucified along 2 criminals. These were not good people. These were people who were so bad that they were being put to death for what they'd done. But one of those 2 guys went to heaven. We know because Jesus said so. Turned to the thief on his right and he said, "This day, you'll be with me in paradise." So at least we know this much for sure. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. So why should I let you into heaven, God asks you? Why should I let you into heaven? You say, "Well, because I try really hard, and I go to church, and I say all my prayers." Is that what gets you into heaven? Saying all your prayers? Now, don't get me wrong. Prayers are very important, and going to church is very important. But have you ever heard of the Pharisees? Group of people in the Bible who said all kinds of prayers. And Jesus had some pretty harsh words to say about them. They were the ones who stood at the foot of the cross on Good Friday and laughed at Jesus while he died. Not a good thing to do.
So it's not like God's up there in heaven with a great big spreadsheet keeping track of all the prayers that you say and all the times you go to church, you know, and like hitting the enter button. And if you get the right number by the time your life is over, you know, he lets you into heaven. Doesn't work like that. So God says, why should I let you into heaven? What's your answer? Please? Pretty please? Pretty please with sugar on top. What is your answer? You know what the answer is? I told this to my 8th graders last year in class, and I hope they all remember. But the answer is this. Why should you let me into heaven? Because Jesus Christ died for my sins. And his grace is in my soul. That's the answer. What gets you into heaven? One thing only. God's grace. And it came from the cross. You know where you get God's grace? Anybody know? Here's hoping everybody knows. Where did you first get God's grace in your life? Very first time. Baptism. And it grows stronger every time you receive a sacrament. And you lose it by doing what? Committing sins. Serious sins. You know, that's what this gospel here is all about. Jesus is trying to tell us actually about the last judgment, but he does it by telling us a story of 10 ladies who were waiting on a wedding reception. And you know, the groom, he was running late. Didn't show up until midnight. Pitch black dark. And so the ladies, they light their lamps, and some of them don't have any oil to light their lamps, and the ones who don't have any oil to light their lamps turn to the ladies who have oil for their lamps, and they say, "Can I have some oil for my lamp?" And the ladies say no. Why do they say no? Is it because they're really mean? Didn't anybody ever teach them how to share? No. It's because there's some things you can't lend, and there's some things you can't borrow. For example, let's pretend that I am a terrible liar and that you are very truthful. Can I go to you and say, "Hey, can you please lend me some of your honesty? Because I could use a little bit more. Can you lend me some of your honesty?" No, there's some things you can lend. Or let's pretend like I'm a terrible coward, but you're very courageous. And I go to you and I say, "Hey, I'm so tired of being such a terrible coward. Can I please borrow some of your courage? Can you lend me some? Can you lend that?" No, you can't lend that. There's some things that you can't lend. Or let's pretend like I'm a terrible selfish jerk. And all I think about is me, me, and some more me. And when I'm done thinking about me, I start thinking about me. But not you. You are very thoughtful to everybody. And I go to you and I say, "Hey, can you lend me some of your thoughtfulness?" And you say, "That's not something I can give away." God's grace is like that. It's not something you can give away. Either you have it or you don't. Where did we get it for the very first time? The sacrament of baptism. It gets stronger every time we receive a sacrament. We lose it every time we commit a sin. It's a big deal. But you want to know what else this story is talking about? It's not just about your grace. It's about the level of your friendship with God. And that's the kind of thing you can't have at the snap of a finger. You have to build it, or you lose it. Did I ever tell you the story of the very first time I ever tried to run a 5K race? Everybody know how long 5K is? It's about 3 miles, maybe a little bit more than 3 miles. So I had to run this 5K race. And I thought, "Oh, I'm in such good shape. I don't need to practice. I don't need to train. I don't need to worry, because I'm going to come in first, because that's just the kind of guy I am." Of course, the day of the race came. I ran for a little bit, and I got so winded, I had to stop. I think I came in dead last. Why? Because some things, you know, if you're not building them, you're losing them. Friendship with God is like that. That's why Jesus here at the end, he's the one who's represented by the groom. They say, let us in. Jesus, "I don't even know who you are." Listen, we talk and we talk and we talk about God's mercy. Now, don't get me wrong. God's mercy is so great that if you committed all the sins that have ever been committed in the entire history of the entire world, and you compared them to the mercy of God, it would be like a drop compared to all the oceans in the whole world. God's mercy is big like you can't even imagine. But there's one thing we don't talk about enough. And that is, one day, there's not going to be any more mercy, because one day you're going to run out of time. We only have but so many tomorrows. Do you ever think about that? I used to teach O'Connell High School, and I would try to tell this to my students. I didn't get anywhere. They would all say things like, oh, Father, you know, you're old and I'm young and I got time to worry about this. It's a habit that you build. It's a friendship that you either build or that gets weaker, and every single day matters. So that's just what I want to leave you thinking about today. Now, it's a rather deep thought, but it's a very important one. You only have but so many tomorrows. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ today. Start building that friendship today. Start growing in His grace today. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.